or toll free, 877-443-1230. Now, a people speak.
I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope your morning is going well. Hope you had a good weekend. Talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. How are you doing this morning?
Very good, Jeff. It's always nice to have a chance to come in here and talk a little bit about some of the issues or items that may be going on as it relates to Randolph County government. And, of course, 2 weeks ago, when it had been my regular time slot, it was Labor Day. So I think it's been 4 weeks since I've been on here, so it's nice to be back on again.
Yeah, we'll have several things we can talk about, but we'll go ahead and get our break out of the way and do that now.
Sure thing.
And then we will come back. You're listening to The People Speak here on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. Again, we're talking today here on The People Speak with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And like we said, several things going on around the county making the news. Well, one of those, the solar farm proposal that's, I guess, around the Tilden area.
Yes, that is one of them. I've spoke a little bit about that in the past, and of course they had their hearing last week, and there was some information also about it in the paper, and it took place last week. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend. It had to be rescheduled for various reasons, and when they rescheduled it, they put it over a time when I wouldn't be there. But I reviewed all the minutes of the meeting and saw the different issues on it, and I'm aware of what took place on it. It's like many things, it's controversial on different areas. Mm-hmm. Some people are certainly supportive of it, and some people aren't supportive of it. And you have to be able to weigh both sides, but I'm going to speak about it more from a Randolph County issue here. Not speaking for, not speaking against, but just simply speaking about it from Randolph County's point of view. Mm-hmm. Randolph County established an ordinance that includes both solar and wind and other alternative energies when it's used for land use, and that was put in place, I think, in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, several years back. If Randolph County had not established that ordinance, then Randolph County would have nothing to say about it. And if somebody wanted to do it, they would just simply do it. It would, as long as it fell within the parameters of state law and federal law, they would simply do it. With the adoption of the ordinance back in that time period, that means that if you wanted an application for it, and of course, we're assuming all of these are not located inside the city limits of a city or a village or something like that. If they are, then it becomes the village or the city's responsibility. But most of these are all located outside in rural areas.
Right.
So if it's located outside in rural areas, they must make an application for it, and it goes before the Zoning Board of Appeals in order to review it, the application. Now, the process is not to determine do we like it or do we not like it. The process is to determine will their application and will their responsibilities comply with all the requirements of that ordinance? And I believe State's Attorney Jeremy Walker spoke to this, because there's people saying we don't like this, and there's other people saying this is a really great thing. But the question before us is, does this comply with the requirements of state law, federal law, and our ordinance?
Right.
And the ordinance includes a number of different issues related to setback rules, and decommissioning is a big one. What happens at the termination of the life? And there's different aspects in there for each one of those particular items, and it complies with all those requirements. Decommissioning is always a big one, and in the process of application and compliance with that, they are required to put up bonds in necessary amounts to cover what would be considered the cost of decommissioning at the end of the life of the project. Now, in actuality, none of us really know exactly what it's going to cost, but we have to make some kind of a reasonable estimate as to we think, well, it'll be this amount or that amount, and they provide, bonding, which will cover those costs of decommissioning. Now, if it turns out to be more, well, that's going to fall back upon that company to be able to do it if they're still here, Or if they're not, it's going to fall back on the landowner.
Mm-hmm.
If you build a house out there and the house is old and you want to tear it down, whose problem is that? That's the responsibility of the person that owns the land.
Right.
But most of the costs, or a reasonable amount of projected costs, can be estimated, and we can make these determinations. Now, the county board doesn't make those determinations. The experts on solar fields and decommissioning costs do. And you have to remember, when they do decommission it, there are salvage values in these items. Now, what those salvage values are at that time are unknown. It depends on what a lot of the market is. But obviously, there's going to be a lot of steel out there, you know, and all the support structures that hold it up. Steel values, obviously, are pretty good. So the decommissioning is one of them. Setback rules are one. And we have, you know, outlined what we consider reasonable setback rules. Randolph County ordinances were modeled after many of the other local ordinances around, and best practices established by the engineers. And we weren't the most restrictive, and we weren't the least restrictive. Now, as long as those setback rules are met, then they're met. They're the same as anyone else who wanted to build a house in a subdivision. Do you meet the setback and other requirements? There are some areas that did not meet the setback rules, to which they went to those individuals and actually obtained easements for those rules. So the solar company has obtained all the necessary easements to cover all setback rules and requirements. They have leases for all the property from all the property owners. And I would point out, no one's property is taken. All these individuals who own the property have agreed to this. And they are being compensated for it, just as if they would have, you know, a tenant farmer plant crops out there, you know, and they would receive rent on the property. They'll receive basically rent from the solar company is what it amounts to. So it appears, it appears that all the necessary requirements have been met. And accordingly, the Zoning Board of Appeals, after listening to any other arguments pro or against, most of the arguments they would have to listen to at the height of the level would be those people who have adjoining land. Because if any person who had adjoining land to the property would say, no, wait a minute, setback rules aren't met at my spot, or there's a place here, then those types of things would have to be reviewed. But once all those issues are met and all those things are reviewed, then basically the Zoning Board of Appeals has no reason to deny, then of course they have to accept. And that's the process, is have they met all the necessary requirements? The question isn't, do the neighbors like it or do the neighbors dislike it? The question is, have they met the necessary requirements to do this? And if they've met those necessary requirements, then they have to adopt it. And they did, in fact, adopt it that night after a fairly lengthy discussion. But you know, something like this would have a fairly lengthy discussion involved with it, because there would be a lot of questions on both sides of the issue.
So basically they're asking you to say to approve A, B, C, and D, not give your opinion on A, B, C,
no, and D. It's not my opinion on it, okay? And you have to remember, many things that I vote on and many of the issues I consider at Randolph County isn't necessarily what I like or what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is required of you to do as a person before the board. Have these issues been met? Are these issues resolved? It's not a question of whether I like it or don't like
right.
it. It's a question of, have the necessary requirements been met? And is there anything that has not been met that still needs to be addressed? And once all those necessary requirements are met, then you're required to act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your opinion. It's what you're required to do. And oftentimes, you know, that issue gets in. When you have a contested issue, that becomes, becomes a hot button item. Oh, you like this? Or no, not necessarily. Do I approve of it? But it's not for me to approve or disapprove. Mm-hmm. It's for me to make sure that all the requirements are in fact met. So, and it appears that all the requirements are in fact met. Then the county board would issue its final license application for them to proceed. And of course, at that point, there's no guarantee they still will. They still have to go out for bids and continue all the other processes, but it's a pretty large hurdle. At that point in time, I would think it's probably going to happen. Otherwise, they would not have carried it that far.
Right.
Because the application process in and of itself is a fairly complicated one. I had actually reviewed some of the application. It's 2 inches thick of paper. It's an entire ream of paper. There's a lot of information there. And when you start actually reviewing it in detail, there's quite a bit. It's not like it's 2 pages. And kind of covering all the different aspects of the ordinance and what they're doing to meet each one of them and the necessary documentation behind each one of them supporting the fact that they have, in fact, have authorized or will authorize, et cetera, to meet those things. So the process has been completed. And it appears that everything at this point in time is acceptable, and there's no reason to say, you know, to deny at this right. point. There's no solid reason, so we move forward with it at that point. I think that there are some positive benefits to it. I'm not sure about every aspect of it, but I think there are some positive benefits to it, and it can bring some benefits down the road that maybe we're not seeing all at this point in time. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops and moves forward.
Right. I'll tell you what, we got another break here. We'll go ahead and get that.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. Again, this is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, and we're talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And we're talking about the solar panel, so there's other stuff in the news as well. The care center over here is in the news.
Yes, the care center is involved in the news. Early voting actually began a week ago, mm-hmm. and, of course, it's in process now. I always think of the election as November 8th, but mm-hmm. you have to remember that voting has already begun. And there is 2 ballot initiatives that I'm aware of taking place. And one of them, Randolph County has placed, the Randolph County Board has placed on there. And it's a question concerning the care center. And I've mentioned this before. And basically, the care center's 70 plus years old now. And we're to the state where we're either the position where we're either going to have to do some renovation to the facility
mm-hmm.
or else we're just simply not going to be able to continue to move forward. And in order to make those renovations, we have to have multiple uses for the facility since it's more than 50% vacant. If we're going to actually be able to demonstrate a need here, we're going to have uses for it. So we put together some ideas for some alternative uses. And we had actually ran this as a ballot initiative back in June. And we got mixed reviews on it. Some was voted for and some was not voted for. But the issue still remains is what are we going to do with the facility? We're either going to have to renovate it or we're going to have to look at other options. So this question becomes much more direct at this point in time. And, you know, and the question is, should Randolph County Board have the authority to sell or transfer? Now, the idea is not to sell. It's the idea is to transfer it into an alternative form of ownership on, you know, entity, mm-hmm. another entity, so we can make these renovations. We cannot make them as a county government. Okay, we have to, in order to be able to operate and continue, we have to have it in a separate entity. And shall Randolph County have the authority to transfer this into this separate entity for these renovations to occur? A vote yes will allow that to happen. A vote no simply says nothing is going to happen to the facility, so ultimately the only thing left to do is to close the facility. If we cannot renovate it, if we cannot bring it up to standards, if we cannot move forward with it, then there's nothing left to do but to begin the process of closing it. Now, it doesn't mean it will close in a week or 10 days, but you're going to start the process, and over a period of time, that's ultimately what's going to occur. In other words, we're going to face the reality that nothing's going to happen to it, and therefore, we're going to have to move it into decommissioning is what it simply comes down to.
Right.
Now, myself personally, I hope it passes because I think there's opportunity there for renovations and to move forward, possibly with as much as another 20 years of use before it simply becomes so old that really at some point there's really is nothing left for it at that point in time. Another 20 years makes the facility 90 years old. So at least the renovations would hold for another generation, and we could have considerable more use and opportunity out of it before it finally reaches the final stages where you're either going to have to look at completely rebuilding it or just discontinuing everything with it. But I would hope it would pass. I think that would be good for our area. I think it would be good for your community and our area over the long run. I hope that's what happens. But whichever way the vote goes, it sets the direction.
I think a lot of voters were a little confused with the wording the last time. Sometimes those initiatives are kind of worded.
Well, that's the thing about initiatives. They're written by attorneys. Mm-hmm. And anytime that happens, it becomes the question becomes confusing. And I certainly understand that. Sometimes I have to read them three or four times myself before I get a clearer understanding of what it is we're trying to accomplish. And they're written that way because that is what's required by state or local laws or other things that have happened in the past, and they have to comply with certain requirements. And so that's how they have to be worded. So it can be confusing, and I understand that. That's why I mention it here, so everyone understands that this is going to occur, and it's going to be in the hands of the voters to determine what happens with this facility. Now, myself, I hope it passes and I hope it moves forward. But as I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about solar panels and the solar farm at south of Tilden, it's not about what I think. It's about what the voters want, and it's about what your requirements are in the job. And you're required to do certain things and to fulfill those certain requirements. So either way it goes, I will respect the wishes and fulfill the necessary requirements. So, but that's what it's about in particular. So we'll see how that comes through. I'm very hopeful that we'll have good results on it. There's a second initiative that's on the ballot. Actually, this one's on from the state of Illinois. They ran one a year, 2 years ago at the last election, wanting to amend the Constitution so they could have a graduated income tax. Fortunately, that did not pass. I believe we're better off not having that in the state. 2 years later, they're back with another one. I don't believe we'd run any constitutional initiatives in the state of Illinois in the last 20 years. However, Governor Pritzker has seen fit to do two of them at every election. Mm-hmm. So obviously he wants to change things. This particular one, and you have to watch it because when you look at it, it looks like it's something very favorable. I do not believe it is. I will not support it, and I usually don't bring my opinions to these things. I usually just talk about the issues, but it's kind of put under the idea of worker safety. It has absolutely nothing to do with worker safety, but the initiative is, should a person be required to join a union to work a job? That's really what it comes down to. Should you be required to join a union, or should that be optional? I support workers' rights to organize, and I support their rights to collectively bargain. But I don't support the concept of them being forced to join a union to work a job.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't require people to join a church to work a job. We don't require, people to be of a certain sex to work a job. We don't, require people to be of any other race, religion, or color. Why should we require them to join unions? It's not good public policy. It does not support good public policy. But for whatever reasons, that's the one they've run out there. You have to watch it. It becomes real easy to check yes, and because they say, it's worker safety, it has nothing to do with worker safety. It has to do with required union membership is what it is. There was a Supreme Court case about 4 years ago that addressed this very issue and said, no, you don't. And basically this is an attempt to try to overturn that case. And I don't think that's an appropriate process, but Right. Everyone has their own idea and their own opinion, and we'll see how the voters weigh in it on the state of Illinois. But I'm not very in favor of that one as well. And I wanted to mention that also, that it's out there. But whichever way you do support, understand what the question is and what's being asked of you. And
Right. It's
real easy to get down to the bottom of the ballot and, what's this mean? I don't know. Check yes and move on. Nah, make sure you understand what the questions are and what's being asked of you. And because I know it is, many times I'll go into an election, I think I understand everything on the ballot, and then there's a question there. I thought, where did that one come from? And you just weren't expecting to see that particular one, or, you know, you made your choices on your major candidates, but what about this one down the ballot a ways? Oh, I didn't research that one, or I don't know. So that's what I'm trying to bring forth.
Right. And these ballots, the sample ballots, usually come out in the papers and stuff a few weeks ahead of time. You give you time. I mean, people just don't glance at it. I mean, literally look at it and see, kind of give yourself an idea of what.
And once again, we talked about the wording of ballot initiatives, and sometimes the wording is very difficult to understand, and that's why you have to look at them very closely. But in that process, I just wanted to take a minute and mention that. And, of course, we'll move on, and then following 2 weeks from now, we'll be past the next board meeting, which is Friday, 2 weeks from yesterday. And we'll be into October, and the solar question will be decided at that point in time. And, of course, the election will be underway.
That's true. It'll be here before we know it.
Oh, it moves quickly in life.
And the older you get, the quicker it moves, right?
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak this morning. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.